Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk vaccinations, young blood, and more with Greenlee star Benjamin Patterson. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's wind it down. Yeah. Let's wind it down. Welcome, Fit Clubbers. We are back with an all-new episode. We are joined by my lovely co-host here, Miss TK Trinidad.
I can be lovely.
Well, yes, and the handsome Mr. Benjamin Patterson of Greenlee.
I mean, we're in a different era. I guess you could be lovely. Yes. Don't call me handsome.
Times are changing.
Don't call her handsome.
Oh, my God.
Dark and lovely.
Well, why don't you introduce yourself to the people, Miss Trinidad?
What's up, guys? My name is TK Trinidad.
And Mr. Patterson, where can they find you online, social media?
You can find me online at Benjamin Patterson All Day on Instagram and Ben Just Creates on Twitter.
Thirst nice. Trapping. Right? You want to see them pictures, though. Bam.
With a little family mixed in, a couple green leaf updates mixed in.
A couple updates. I got to keep it popping.
Because when you're doing it right, you mix the thirst trap up. It can't just be everything, you know?
You know. Is that the formula?
Yes, yes. Oh, okay. For those out there taking notes. But we got some great stories to talk about before we talk about your turn back to Greenlee.
Yeah.
Very exciting. But our first story is about these outbreaks of measles. There's a big outbreak in New York and Washington in areas where people are not vaccinating their kids. And what I didn't realize is measles was eradicated in the United States in 2000. Mm-hmm. And we've had a couple flare-ups since that came from outside, and now it seems like we're really dealing with it. And it looks like that when you get measles, 2 out of every 1,000 kids die. So it's pretty serious. Mm-hmm. And it looks like right now in these two areas, especially in Washington, typically you're supposed to get your measles, mumps, rubella vaccine before kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And less than 85% of these kindergartners are getting that vaccination. And you need about 95% to have herd immunity, which mm-hmm. means essentially if 95% of people are vaccinated, the it's herd has immunity. It's not going right. to mm-hmm. continue to promulgate. So these are crazy issues. I don't know how I feel about vaccination myself because I refuse to get the flu vaccination. But
yeah, I don't do that.
But I was all about the measles, mumps, and rubella. I'm like, that's some old school stuff. Let's go ahead and get that. What are your thoughts? And I know with you, having a kid, you know, you have different concerns as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and you bring up two really good points. One, I don't get a flu shot as well, and I don't get the flu. Mm-hmm. However, I'm responsible for my own body. Mm-hmm. But as far as my son goes, the interesting thing is I was also one of the parents being like, well, I don't want to do that because I don't know what's happening in this and that. And there's mm-hmm. statistical evidence will say, you know, there's autism linked to it, and there's mm-hmm. this and that linked to it, and there's further complications. However, there's also the flip side of the coin saying, okay, so if he gets sick, then it's my fault. And then you start looking around at the other little kids like, okay, well, everyone's vaccinated. Let me get him vaccinated. So it kind of – you have to juggle it. You know what I mean? And then it's one of those things that kind of plays with your mind a little bit. But you – ultimately, it's like for the welfare of the kid. You know.
And then with the flu shot, like it's part of your environment, right? So, you know, I know we all – because we don't hang out with a bunch of – groups of individuals day in and day out. So that kind of plays into mm-hmm. if there's an office setting where I'm seeing people get sick often, then I might be more prone to do it. But I don't like groups of people on a daily basis is not, you know, my thing. So I wouldn't do the flu shot. With the vaccination, I was, you know, and I don't have kids, but I was also siding on, well, I wouldn't want to do this because I don't know what's in it.
Yeah.
However, as far as I know, well, like I got it when I was younger, and it was a prerequisite to take the kid to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, that's a thing, too. So it's just one of those things like, okay, well, you know, I got it, and, you know, I'm not crazy. Yeah, I'm still here. Then, you know, like, it's kind of almost finding that balance.
Yeah, it's definitely the balance.
Yeah, because obviously there's a risk in almost anything, but I'm not even sure that I haven't looked deeply into what the anti-vaccination sort of, you know, pushback is. Like, is mm-hmm. it that they feel that it's not effective at all? Or they're saying the benefits don't outweigh the risk?
Well,
or
the pushback was like a lot of the fact that you're giving, well, the pushback is a lot of things. Like, you know, the food, the milk, there's all the stuff that you're putting into your child that if you as a parent and adult have been trying to eat a healthy way and try to live a healthier lifestyle, all these things that people are trying to subject their children to, you don't want that to be subjected to your child.
Yeah.
So the pushback is like, okay, well, you know, the shot that I may have gotten might be something different than my child would get.
Yeah.
I don't know if the intention is as pure as it was back then.
Yeah, and another thing, too, I know, because as far as dietary stuff goes, like, I don't drink milk now, but like I grew up eating cereal, and so I drink almond milk. But that's like one of those things that as I'm an adult, you know, I can't say, well, you know, milk is bad, and but I drank it for like 17 years.
So how bad is it?
Yeah. So there's things where you have to like as the parent or even just as an adult, you have to remember like, okay, you can't forget that you ate Cheetos on the way home from school. Drank, you know, Capri Sun, all the things that are not really juice.
Yeah.
And you're fine. You know what I mean? Without excess. But it's a couple things that go on in your mind.
And the irony with the vaccination thing is sort of the more complicated and, I guess, efficacious the treatment can be, the harder it is to prove to someone exactly what's in it if you don't have a degree in a microscope, you know? So it's kind of tough. But right now, it stands, 17 states actually allow you to opt out of getting vaccinations for philosophical / personal reasons. Usually it's around medical or religious, but...
Well, it's the same thing when people have, like, those dogs, you know, those...
Service dogs.
Everybody has... You can buy that paper for, like,
$50. I want service rhinoceros.
They had a peacock.
Are you serious?
On a plane.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's called a loophole.
Sort of, like, flicked in the throat.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy.
Service peacock.
But hopefully people get vaccinated and we don't have a crazy surge of measles, so... but our next story talks about young blood. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but people are getting...
No?
Okay.
I was somebody, some rapper. I'm serious.
Yeah, new rapper, Young Blood.
Spelled Y-U-N-G.
No, but this young blood is... People are getting transfusions of young blood, and they're saying that it can make you age less, and it improves all these biomarkers of aging. And they even claim that it can help with memory loss, dementia, multiple sclerosis, heart disease, and PTSD.
They might as well just get black blood, then.
Another rapper. two things I do know. One thing I do know about a scenario in which that could be true. Blood doping, I know in sports, especially swimming, because I was a swimmer, is when you take out... you know, a couple of pints or a pint of your own blood. You swim. Your body gets used to a certain amount of oxygen, and then bam, you hit it back up, and it's nothing illegal because it's just your blood.
Yeah.
So, yes, but then you have to look at who's actually taking the transfusions.
Yeah.
And it's like if you're just a toxic person anyway, not saying personality wise, but like if you drink and you smoke and do all this other stuff. And then you throw the blood in the mix, like, it's really not going to do anything.
Yeah, and if you're doing your own blood, blood doping will work for you, for your own blood taking out, but increasing your oxygen levels. But if you're talking about dementia, multiple sclerosis, heart disease, PTSD, now we're, wait a minute.
You know? Right. PTSD, too, sounds kind of off.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's what they're saying. So the blood is usually donated between people between the ages of 16 and 25, and you're not allowed to get treatment till after 30, or at least this one group called Ambrosia is saying they're starting treatment with people after 30. And actually, in response to the FDA issuing these warning letters, Ambrosia has stopped doing this particular...
service.
Yeah, this particular service. But the guy that ran the company, Stanford grad medical from the medical school of Stanford, so bright guy, and they're selling it for $8,000 a liter, $12,000 for 2 liters, so you get a little bonus.
That's the bright guy part right there. Because honestly, like if you look at who the demographic they're pointing towards, it's somebody that's like, ooh, I want to do that because I'll feel and look younger. But then, like, 30 is young.
Yeah.
So you know, 40 is
women
young.
Women are getting Botox at 21.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like, as a gift. Like, oh, honey, here you go. Here's a gift card.
My friends in their 20s, 22, 23 are getting Botox. And it's like, what are you doing?
And they look hella greasy.
But it's like, apparently they do that for prevent, like...
To stop you from getting wrinkles in the first place.
They do it, for prevention, so that you're aging slower.
But then, like, in the prime of your life, when you're supposed to look... fresh and natural and fresh face, you look like this.
Like I am smiling. Baby, I'm upset with you.
I don't know. Different strokes for different folks.
It's crazy. But yeah, there was a little bit of science behind this. So they did look at 200 people in 2016 to look at and found that the biomarkers were younger. But biomarkers are things you look at when you don't have solid scientific evidence of what you want to find.
Mm-hmm.
So a biomarker might be an indication of something. Mm-hmm. So they looked at all these indications of youth rather than like sort of exactly what it is.
Exactly.
And it was not evaluated as a new drug, and as a result, the FDA did not look at it for safety.
Right.
So when it has a clinical trial, it's got to be looked at as a new drug. And I think people don't know that. And so I think if you're hearing that they've had a clinical trial, you need to do a little bit further and find out exactly what the standards were for that trial.
People trying to stay alive longer.
People do the oddest things when they're convinced that this isn't okay.
Yeah.
It just really, like, there's so many things that, like, there's Botox shops.
Says the guy with the like the muscle shirt. Well, yeah, I was gonna and say, the pretty face. But now
people are just so crazy. Yeah, yeah. I've been modeling my entire life, right? But
those things to themselves. What are you thinking? But no, like in all seriousness, like I just went to a high school friend's wedding, and we were all there. It's like me and a whole bunch of friends listening to DJ Quick and having a great time, and and I'm looking at my friends, and I'm like, you know what? All these dudes to me look like we did in high school. Like, the bigger dude was still bigger, but he's in shape.
Right.
And he's tall. A couple guys lost their hair, a couple guys didn't. For the most part, though, everyone kind of took care of themselves within the context of how they were in high school.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the few that I do know that were like, oh, man, you know, I'm old, dog. I can't do this and that anymore. And I'm like, dude, we're 30. You know what I mean? And now I look at them and I'm like, damn, you're like, it, age has come and got you. It's a mindset now at the same time, but I also like, you know, it's like when people see like that I have gray in my beard and they think I put it there, and I'm like, no,
this
I just,
LA too. This is, you know,
like, oh, I just added a little gray. Like, I embrace what I have, and I also go, okay, look, you know, I look at actors and I go like, okay, there's not going to be a Sam Elliott if you get in Botox and you color your hair. So you can't age that way and look, you know, you can't look like a 60-year-old dude and not be 60. You know what I mean? So I, you know, I take what I have and I'm like running with it. I do stay in the gym. I do stay, you know, working out.
I couldn't guess that.
So yeah, like.
But I think it's also different too, because LA, like, I don't think my friends from Toronto have seen this, but like the folks I went to high school with, like some of them are 2-3 kids in, and they look terrible. Like
you said, I hope they're not.
Yeah, they look.
I'm sorry.
they look like if they were to come to LA, they would go back to Toronto and cry. Like they just it's a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
So
it's very
you know,
it's very different.
And then my lifestyle is different. Like even if I was back there, my lifestyle would still be totally different. Like I was the athlete who left who got a scholarship, the only one in my class.
Oh wow. Yeah.
So it's just kind of like it's just a different lifestyle. But there's nothing wrong with it because they're living a totally different life as long as you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Right.
So
now I do want to know, what is the craziest thing you've done to get in shape for something or to be on point?
Wow, crazy.
So if you didn't take young blood transfusions, what was the craziest thing?
Old blood. So 95 is like a good year.
Okay.
Oh, wow, the craziest thing. I think the craziest thing is I swam in an ice-cold pool. It's an outdoor pool right before a shoot.
Mm.
And, like, there was a hot tub, which was, like, room temp. And so, but the pool was not heated, and it was at an apartment complex. Mm-hmm. So it was literally just cold for, like, months, and it was November. And we were doing all of our shoots, and so I was like, all the different models were getting lined up. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, dude's doing the push-ups. And I'm like, I'm going to jump in that water. And I did, and I got out and was like, bam, because my body goes into panic mode when I'm ready to swim. Like, I'm like, oh. So it was, like, better than doing anything else. Plus, the act of swimming, you're hitting every muscle group. So I just swam for, like, 5 minutes, and then I got out and dried off, and it was like I was ready to roll. And I was cold as ice.
It's a smart trick, but yeah, that is it's effective, but definitely painful.
Let me tell you.
And so, yeah, I even do, well, now I do the cryo. So I think that's probably
I haven't done that yet. I heard, like.
And you get a lot of the benefits because, the inflammation benefits, but of course, the body, when you kind of blast it with that cold air, the
like
body's
Han
working
solo style. You're like,
yeah. So it's like it's got that effect of like almost getting that freeze dried effect, where sort of your body just is like trying to hold on to warmth. You know, so you do look better when you come out of the place.
For poor people, you can do ice baths. Same,
right? Yeah, ice baths.
Poor people. If you can watch this,
or people who aren't in a cryo clinic nearby. But we also
you can just look cold, or you can just be homeless. That's awful. That's a joke. Don't
quote him on that one. That'll be the quote from the show.
He's insensitive. I'm making jokes.
Our next story involves, I guess, kind of decluttering your life. So they find that when you declutter, you're able to actually eat better, and that's what kind of serves you. So two things, messiness and unplugging from technology. Mm-hmm. So decluttering your kitchen, one of the things you want to do is make sure your counters are completely clear. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure your bad stuff, your chips and your cookies, whatever, are put away and hard to reach. But for me, when I do that, I end up just eating in one sitting because I want to put it back to the hard to reach place.
But what's hard to reach when you live, you know, when you're the adult?
Yeah, right.
Like, that's just over there.
Yeah,
I'll get it.
Hard to reach for Zach, not for me.
So, so and you want to make sure that your snacks that are healthy are organized, and the only thing you keep on your counters are like fresh fruit. So things that you don't want to spark an idea of something when you just look into your kitchen. So, right. And then I guess about unplugging is about eating mindfully and making sure that when you're eating that you're being aware of the foods and the flavors and the response that you're actually getting full.
So you're not tweeting while you're eating. You're like, exactly. This is bomb ass chili.
It's so
you're
dope.
Actually eating the chili.
And they actually did a study where they had people play solitaire and eat, and the group that played solitaire and ate, they ate almost twice as much food and still said they were hungry, as opposed to the group that didn't, and that felt full and didn't eat as much. So technology will really distract us from being mindful and getting those signals that our brain is trying to tell us, hey, you're full.
Mm-hmm. You know? Interesting. What about music during a meal? Is there anything that you've read about that? What are your thoughts?
I have not read anything about music. But
I guess it depends on the music, too.
Exactly.
I was like all the time. I change it up, but I listen to music all the time.
I think some music checks you in, and some music can kind of just check you out.
Yeah,
and
if it's metal, I'm not like trying to like, this is a great steak. You know, I'm like,
but if it's classical, I'll probably, oh, I'm getting full. Yeah. Wow, this is nice.
Oh, goodness.
According to Shaka Strong.
So that might have to be our next study, is whether or not music affects. Have you done anything around your house to kind of like push yourself towards success?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely I have. Actually, speaking to the decluttering thing, I probably once a month or once every 2 weeks will go through the refrigerator and just toss stuff out. Like if it's old or if it's a leftover or if it's something that just is like a different substance at this point, like it went from a solid to a liquid, and I'm like, I don't even know who made Jell-O. You know, that was not, you know. But every now and then I'll get on the post-it note kick, and I'll just put up a note that says, you know, like something either affirmational or just reminding me, or, you know, I'll try different things. And sometimes I'll give it enough time to let it stick and then actually see the results and say, okay, yes, this works. And sometimes I'm like, I tried drinking water tomorrow. You know, it's not working.
Yeah.
So, different things, different times. Yeah. It just depends.
Yeah, I mean, keeping well, for me, I just don't have I buy individual stuff, so I don't have, like, the bag of chips. And, like, that just doesn't work for me. Like, sometimes, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be good, and then you pour it in a small bowl, but then you just go back eventually.
Right.
Like, you just,
like Haagen-Dazs?
Yeah. I just buy the small thing, and it's like, that's, I already know I'm going to eat it. Yeah. So then that'll force me if I want another one. It's like I have to go back to the grocery store, and I'm not doing that. So I keep my fridge and very like clean, and I have like a whole bunch of like
clean fridge.
Vegetables, lots of frozen stuff. And for like quick stuff, I have stuff there too. So it's just easier for me, especially if you're like wanting to snack.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in your house to snack like the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. Then you're like forced to eat the good stuff, or you're forced to question like, am I really that hungry?
Right. Yeah. See, now I'm fasting, so I don't have any of that.
Ooh.
So my fasting is I've been fasting to about between 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at night.
Oh, okay.
But basically between 6 p.m. and when I go to sleep, I can eat whatever I want.
Okay.
Then I just fast the rest of the remainder of the day.
Okay.
So it's been working out. But there's not the temptation because I know I'm just not going to eat.
You know? But you also look great.
Well,
you have to like put that in there. Like your result is.
Oh, so yeah. So far, so good. So
okay. I don't know. You haven't really
Shia was actually 85 years old. I got a birth certificate pulled up.
The truth is.
You haven't been doing your thirst traps as per usual, though.
You know, it's been tough when you're working. Yeah, as you can attest, now you're back on set. And speaking of being back on set, our last story of the day has to do with exercise and what it can do for ED in black men. But why I brought this story up is this was the first time that a racially diverse group has ever been looked at for this subject. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to think Viagra's been around for how long? Cialis has been around for how long?
Yeah, but think about the stereotypes, though.
No, yeah, true. You have the stereotype, and obviously, I think it must have played something into these studies. You know?
Well, I guess they figure black men have big penises, therefore they don't have.
They're good. We're good. So a lot of these studies they just didn't have a representation. Well, maybe they're
just saying.
But and this was actually in Cedars-Sinai at LA here, where they looked at 300 guys. And what they're saying, though, for countries, especially like a country like South Africa, where you're talking about 78% of the population over 20 is black,
mm-hmm.
you know, they didn't have these studies to rely on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so now they finally did a study, and they found that doing exercise actually got rid of this erectile dysfunction issue, mm-hmm. and that for men who did 2 hours of strenuous exercise or 3.5 hours of moderate exercise or 6 hours of light exercise
a week.
Oh, that's when they saw that's when they saw the benefits. And 2 hours of strenuous would be considered running or swimming for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And so, and even in the highest group, the group that exercised the most had a 17.3% better rate than those that did not. And so you're looking at three things. One is pelvic workouts are very effective. Yoga,
the thrust,
weights. Yes. So these are three of the some of the most effective movements you can do for mm-hmm. that. But of course, any exercise is good. Mm-hmm. But I just was surprised that our community had been completely ignored on this issue for so long.
I'm not surprised. No, I mean, I think there's a couple of things. There's a study that came out. Well, Serena Williams like brought it to the forefront, but there's a study that came out where, you know, doctors in particular think black females, like, they're just stronger. Yeah. So they don't really, you know, when a black female says, oh, like, I feel this way, a doctor won't necessarily take that into, like, context. Like, oh, we need to get this, looked at. So for Serena Williams, she actually had to push because she was feeling a certain way after she had her child. Yeah. And if she didn't push, she could be dead now.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just one of those things. So it's just like I feel like sometimes we are overlooked because of those stereotypes. So like a study like this is because of the stereotypes of, you know, black men can do this and they can do that and they're, you know, known as being whatever in the bedroom. It's like, well, they don't have to worry about that stuff. Yeah. You know, it's not.
And of course, it's like a positive stereotype. But when it comes to the medical community, you want them to actually be using science
and
not
be like, level playing field. Yeah. Like, hey, look, all blood is blood.
Yeah.
Shit ain't working. Instead working.
So we're all wondering if you'll have those concerns, or at least if your character Noah will have those concerns. this season on Greenleaf. So we're just excited. Just excited for your return. Yeah. We can't believe it. Yeah.
I was very happy to get the call, mm-hmm. and once I read the first scene that I'm in the first episode, I was very excited, and I left it at that. And you were the first person I told. I told him at the gym. I was like, hey, look, don't tell anybody.
No, we're just going to bring you on the show.
But yeah, so the fans will be in a fluster. It's gonna be good.
It's gotta be a fluster following the line. How have you liked the last few seasons? Have you been following?
I actually have, and interestingly enough, so we did a show, an after show. I think it was for season two. I forget what was going on in the episode, but needless to say, I didn't watch the rest of the episode or the rest of the season because I wasn't on it. So I was like, whatever, I'm busy. But when I found out I was back on, I binge-watched 2 and 3. And the most interesting thing is in episode, I think it's 8, when they're talking, the whole family's getting ready to they're going to talk about the sister's passing, and there was the anniversary of that, and they're all looking at pictures. There's a scene where Grace goes upstairs, and she opens a Bible, and she pulls out a picture. And that picture is of me and my brother. And it's the craziest thing to see. Like, in the middle of the night, I'm like, if you watch it, she goes, I miss Faith. But I'm like, but that's clearly me. And I'm like, those are my sheets. It's me and my brother. So I never understood the context of it, but it was actually kind of a cool surprise. Uh-huh. And I thought she was going to say something like, oh, you know, I wonder what Noah's up to. You know,
well, you didn't really say, like, at the end of this, like, the last time we saw you, like, you just disappeared.
Yeah, the show.
Yeah.
You know what? That's how it was written.
Oh,
and
okay.
So as it was written, it was acted out. So I, you know, and there was never any, like, any bad terms.
That's like why that. It was so like, okay.
Because I was getting asked those questions, you know, via social media and also my family. They were like, so why aren't you there? You know, but all that to say, I'm back. It's going.
Do you explain where you go?
I don't.
The audience is going to find out, though, right?
He just said he didn't.
No, I mean. I'm saying at the end of the season, we would have to pay off the audience with knowing what took place in this interim, right?
You think so, but
I can't dive too much into that.
Well, we do know he'd gotten married or was about to get married.
About to get married,
and went off with Anna. What was Anna?
Well, it was Isabel. It wasn't confirmed that you went off.
It's assumed that we get the motel.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't have the ED problem, and then we leave to go to Denver.
Oh, okay.
But it's been a few years now, so the ED has happened, so now we've got to get back to exercising and Grace. So.
Wow.
But I will say that the come whenever, I guess we're going to premiere later this year, maybe August or so, or July, That's gonna be good. Okay.
And are you keeping up with your fitness while you're going between places?
I am,
because you're back and forth. Now.
Yes,
yeah.
I am. And I swim. I'm at about 3 days a week, and I've also started running, which I'm not a fan of running, but mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know what? I was listening to some 90s hip hop. That's my thing. I started listening to some great music, and next, you know, I've been on the treadmill for 15 minutes. Oh, so I was nice. Like, okay, so now I run. So it's like run, swim, lift.
And boom. I know Merle is into that fitness. Do you guys work out together?
No, we. You know, and she's the thing about. I will say, I applaud her is being the lead on the show. Is the amount of dialogue. Like, I know how long it takes me to memorize. Let's just say three pages of something, and then if there's a rewrite. So in order to have that much stuff stored and to stay in shape and be a dad, like there's a lot of things. So I give so much credit to any actor. I am just floored by the amount of stuff that she has to deal with. But no, she stays fit on her own.
So there's no castmate workouts.
Not yet. Yeah. No, I've seen people like post stuff where they come in like, oh, we were out, you know, roller skating or we did rock climbing or whatever. Yeah. But you know, I'm back and forth. So the main cast is in Atlanta. So, and I will see them very soon. Yeah. Nice. I will see them all very
Congratulations.
Soon.
Congratulations.
Yeah. We were excited for this turn. I mean, like every season I'm just like, cause I feel like every season there would be like a moment where it would be
like in the
how are we not addressing
like,
him?
Yeah.
Like it feels like someone should say something, but yeah. But we do have a thing at the end of our show. It's called Fit Club 5.
Oh.
Where we're going to ask you 5 rapid-fire questions, and I'm sure the audience gets to know you better, get a little insight into Mr. Patterson.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Last person you text.
You. No. Last person I text was my friend Mo, who's also a crew person in TV world.
Dream dinner guest.
Alive or dead?
Prince.
Last meal.
I cooked last night. That was your last meal?
Oh no, my
last meal was I had a sandwich on the way here from Vons.
You on that shaka fast thing. Favorite junk food?
Giant burgers.
See, he must not eat junk food because he had to think. He was like,
No, because I had to remember because I know in Bay Area people are going, you better say Giant Burgers. Giant Burgers. There's like In-N-Out is to L.A., uh-huh. Fat Burgers to L.A., Giant Burgers is to Oakland.
Oh, okay.
And Giant Burgers are hella good. Some people call them Quarter Pounder, but Giant Burgers.
If you were on Death Row, what would be your last meal?
Death Row, the rap label?
Oh,
I was quick with that one. Bam! What would be my last meal?
He was trying to buy himself some time.
I'd be with Death Row with Pac. Last meal on Death Row. It would be like a 12-course, full-on, like, it would start with duck. It would be like a light confit. I don't even know what that is. Maybe like a little pate, some sushi. That'd be a long meal.
Yeah. It's so funny. I had one girl. She's like, I would just donate my meal because, you know, when you die, it all
comes out.
It comes out. She's like, I would just donate my meal. I was like, that's pretty
cool. Right, but you're going
to
die.
I'm going to try to eat right up until the chair or the injection. I want to have that life.
I strike all that. I want to go to Fatburger and order the tallest, like they do the 12 by 12.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to eat that.
That's it.
And then when I finish, they can like,
if it doesn't kill me, then I guess you guys can go ahead.
Oh, that cleanup will be terrible.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Like, well, he had a fat burger. 15 patties, this one here. That's an awful voice, the executioner. He can talk like anybody.
We've got to thank you, Ed. This is incredible. Thank you for joining us. What other secrets or tidbits can you give us on Greenleaf or anything else you're working
on
right now?
I wish I could tell you. When we do, let's do this. When we do episode 1, I will be here.
Yes.
If I don't have a crazy party at the house as a viewing party.
Oh, so we're having a party at your house?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yes.
We're doing the podcast from there.
Yeah.
We could get like some remote, get the camera people there. We could do some remote. I would totally be down. I'm absolutely serious. I'll lead some insight into that. Musically, the last project is now finished. It's under my own name, Benjamin Patterson. Look for that in May. That's about
Thirst
it.
Thirst Straps
right
on
now.
Instagram.
Yeah. Stay in touch with Benjamin Patterson all day. A couple good things are coming.
Yeah, and next time maybe we gotta get you to like play some music here too.
I would love to. Awesome. It's all mine, so it's not that cool.
Yeah, we're good, right? Good on YouTube,
right?
Man,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Again, guys, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
And you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad.
And you can find me at Benjamin Patterson all day and Ben Just Creates.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Ciao.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.